On this week's show, I reflect with Charlotte on how I managed to reduce swelling over time without even trying. It reveals some of the insights around what causes swelling and how your injection strategy can massively change the experience that patients have after having a procedure. Charlotte was really acutely aware that swelling was a big issue for many patients and wants to reduce it. And in this show, I discuss all the ways that I've done that in my practice.
In terms of avoiding other sort of side effects, is there any sort of way that you can reduce swelling on patients? Because I'm worried that I'm going to do someone. So I've got someone booked for lips in a few weeks, my first time, and I'm really worried about her going out with absolutely massive lips. So how can I reduce that risk?
What you're really worried about is an upset patient.
Yeah, yeah.
And so preparation is key. I would tell them she's going to swell. And then it's useful to know some sort of dynamics of what that swelling's like. So peaks in about 6 hours, and then it starts to fade a little bit, sometimes a bit worse than the morning after as well. And then it starts to improve. 80 to 90% of people within 5 days is returned to normal to look at, but they can still feel it's a little bit swollen. In terms of reducing swelling, there are lots of things. The first thing is don't do unnecessary injections. Like, you don't have to do, you know, 40 vertical injections on every patient. If someone's particularly worried about swelling, vary your technique. So you may have learned this on our day. You can do a technique where you enter through one entry point and do three injections, essentially. And that means you can do most of the top lip with four injections. And that'll have less swelling than someone who's gone in multiple times. Every time you stick the needle in, and it's blood that causes swelling and going through, tearing through cells. So the more injections you do, the more swelling you get.
Yeah, so try and reduce your injections.
The next thing is a big one for me, because I remember getting loads of bruises when I first started, and then they stopped. And I remember thinking, well, my patients don't bruise anymore. I was like, well, it can't be my patients. It was because of precision. One of the early skills you need to develop is the resolution for your anatomy. So a new injector can't tell when it's 2 millimeters deeper than an experienced injector. And so you're going in through tissue that's more vascular, and you're causing more trauma. But it looks, even on video, it can look pretty much the same, but you're getting different results. So in that moment when you're injecting, really, really think about where you're trying to be. And I kind of zone in, and just my whole world becomes that little needle space. And I'm really thinking about gliding in exactly in the plane I want to be. And that seems to have an impact on the number of bruises that you get.
Yeah, it's a bit like taking blood, isn't it? You're sort of imagining where your needle is. Is it sat on the top of the vessel? Is it on the bottom? Why am I? I feel like I'm in the vessel, but nothing's coming. So I suppose it's like that, but just trying to avoid it the other way, isn't it?
Exactly that kind of thinking. So if you want to be in the lip, you want to be just under the mucosa. You don't want to be in the middle of the lip depending on where you're trying to inject. But, you know, all of those blood vessels are within kind of 3 to 5 millimeters. And the big hematomas you get is when you've gone through an artery. Most of them that balloon up straight away, and that's usually from being too deep. Not always, but typically it's a deep injection. And if you ever see, like, someone showed me recently of a huge hematoma in a VO, and they had the hematoma one, they had it on camera, and I saw this injector, and it was just the most barbaric injection. It's like, well, no wonder. That's why I don't get hematomas, because I don't ram the needle up your nostril through your lip.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking this way, you're already going to be on that side of the spectrum, slow, gentle. And another thing is just stability. You know, make sure you're stabilized. So from your wrists, only thing moving should be your fingers, and slow and steady all the way through, and you'll have less swelling. You can also treat the swelling straight after, so that once they've had the procedure, you could preemptively give them some ibuprofen. Some people think it increases bruising.
Yeah, because it thins the blood. Yeah.
I don't know, because I know they do surgery on people on ibuprofen. I don't know why ibuprofen has been wrapped into it. Aspirin absolutely makes bruising worse. I will say more, the difference between patients is much bigger than the difference between a patient who's had aspirin and a patient who hasn't. Like, you can have someone who's not taking anything, it's a massive bruise, and someone who's on clopidogrel and all this stuff and doesn't seem to bruise.
Some people are just bruisers, aren't they? I'm a bit worried as well with, like, after doing fillers, about massaging the area that I'm going to move the filler. Is that... Can you move it and manipulate it, and then I'm going to put it above the lip and then look overfilled and migrated?
I think it's an excellent thought, and you should think about that. So the way I would suggest you do is you think of it not so much of it as a massage as a sculpting movement. So imagine the lip is made out of plasticine and you're shaping it. So I feel along the inside of the lip very gently in a way that wouldn't move product to feel if I can feel any irregular lumps or bumps. And if I find one, I gradually increase the pressure on that slowly in a way that the way I'm increasing the pressure would put the filler where I want it to be. So I'm typically guarding the vermilion border and just gently smoothing it rather than just mashing in and crushing it. So it's I sometimes use, imagine if you're in a you know, if you're blind and you're in a room where the light's off and there's a pea on a plate and you just want to squash that pea and not make a mess of anything else, you'd kind of feel for it first, zone in on it until your finger was just over the top of it, and then you gently push it until it popped.
Right, yeah.
It's more that than just massaging everywhere.
Yeah, and I think like Julie Horn says, like she scratches it out, doesn't she, like of his little lump. So it's a gentle sculpt, not a getting in there massage, because then that can increase swelling as well, can't it?
Yeah, it will do. And so that's particularly if you're doing certain injections, if you end up basically in the superficial part of the lip, then you end up with a superficial lump. And that needs to be massaged in a different way than most of the lumps you get, which are little boluses that you can feel.
Yeah.
And be aware that sometimes what you're feeling is a hematoma, particularly if it's later on, like they come back the next day with a lump.
Yeah.
If it's tender, then I usually would just leave it. You've got some swelling and inflammation, it's not the filler. If it's non-tender, then it's the filler and you can massage it away.
And if someone's coming for lips that I want to build up slowly, so doing maybe 0.7s in one session, how long would you leave it then until the next session if they're wanting to build up slowly?
You want to wait until the swelling is not a big factor, because you can have so much swelling that you can't see what you're doing even in the first week. You don't know how much of what you're seeing is just inflammation rather than the filler. So 2 weeks is typically what people leave.
Least.
Yep.
Okay, lovely. Thank you.